the God of our fathers. July 4th marks our 245 years as a nation. 245 years. Our nation began as people giving honor, glory, and praise to God. Godly people formed our nation. We were a godly nation, as is evident by every state's constitution stating that it was grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. Maryland was the first. Its preamble in 1776 said, "We, the people of the state of Maryland, grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious liberty." And I remember, you know, I went through this. Wisconsin has it. Minnesota has it. All the East Coast. As the states were formed, they were all grateful to Almighty God. The gratefulness of our past should never be forgotten. We all should continue to be grateful to God. And we need to express our thankfulness to Him daily. The people who started our country knew that God was the creator of all things. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we read, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." God has created all things. We are to give him honor and glory. First, God did create us. And we read in Acts 17:28, it says, "For in him we live, we move, and have our very existence. As even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring." God has not only created us, but our very existence is of him. By the grace of God, we are who we are. Paul said, "There but by the grace of God go I," in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And that statement affects each and every one of us. Whatever we do, it is by the grace of God. We cannot know God until we know what he has done for us. Paul knew what God had done for him. Do you know what God has done for you? Do you know that Jesus died for your sins and that his blood was shed for you? It says in Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Blood, Christ, our Lord and Savior's blood had to be shed for us. The Apostle Paul gives us the very definition of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." This is of first importance, that Christ, our Lord and Savior, died for us, was buried, and was raised for our justification on the third day. God so loved you that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal, everlasting life. Our founding fathers, godly men, inspired by God, wrote the Declaration of Independence. It begins with, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and in pursuit of happiness." When we look at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we can think of physical life, physical liberty, and physical happiness. But I believe these godly men had spiritual life, spiritual liberty, and spiritual happiness in mind, as our country was founded on religious freedom. First, life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Eternal life comes through knowing and believing in Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, we read, He who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son of God has not life. Second, liberty. Liberty and being free. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 and verse 36, If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Our spiritual liberty and our spiritual freedom are only through faith and keeping the Word of God and knowing and believing in Jesus Christ. Third, we have the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is found through faith in Christ. It is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, we read, The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But the very second thing it says, first it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Knowing that we are loved by God and that we can love Him. And when we know that, it brings a joy to our hearts. A joy that should be immeasurable, that cannot be measured. That's the joy that we have, knowing that God loves us. The fruit of joy. We are happy because we know our Almighty God. Our Creator is our Heavenly Father. In Psalm 144, verse 15, it says, How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. In the King James, it says how happy they are. Are you happy in Christ? Are you happy? Jesus said He came that we may have life and have it abundantly, filled with joy. And we should be, knowing that we have God the Father and Christ, our Lord and Savior, watching over us. And they not only watch over us, but they're inside of us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? Yes, we should be filled with joy and happy in Christ. Our founding fathers knew God, believed in God, and honored God. And we are to love and to honor God. We are commanded to love the Lord our God. Jesus commands us to love God in Matthew 22:37. He says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in the book of Mark, it adds, with all your strength. We're to love God. And when we love Him with our total being, it is a way of honoring and bringing glory to Him. When we have a responsibility as Christians and followers of Christ. Jesus tells us to be a Christian influence on others. And by doing that, we glorify God. Matthew 5:16 says, Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to let the light of Jesus shine from us so that it may glorify our Father in heaven. One of the ways we let our light shine for God is having a thankful spirit. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 8 through 12, it tells us this. Such precious verses on being thankful. It says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments of his mouth. And in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. We need to have a thankful heart towards God, and we need to express it to him and to others. A Christian should be rejoicing and filled with joy, knowing that God loves them. Our Almighty God loves us. Isn't that precious? It is precious. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, his desires become our desires. We should be praising and thanking God now, because this is what we will be doing in heaven. We should be thanking him for the daily miracles in our lives. For the daily miracles. Have you experienced God at work in your life? Oh, I think I experience him every day. Every day. Every day, every moment is a gift of God. Every breath we take is a gift that he gives us. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When it says 10,000s times 10,000s, that's a million. A million are around the throne praising God. What these verses say is that God in Christ will have universal worship from those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, it goes on and says, and all these angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the Lord, before the throne, and worshiped God. All are going to give godly reverence to God. Like Daniel and John did. Both fell on their faces as dead when coming before God, which was the pre-incarnate Christ. They fell on their faces as dead when they came into the presence of God, the pre-incarnate Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 5, it says, give praise to God, to our God, all his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. We all need to give praise to God. Our founding fathers gave praise and acknowledgement to God. And this is evident by our nation's constitution and the constitution of every state. They knew Almighty God and what he had done for them. Do you know what God has done for you? We are free in Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. The United States of America was founded as a Christian nation. Godly men founded our country on Christian principles. The inscription on the Liberty Bell was taken from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. And here's what it says. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Our forefathers knew that Christ had made them free, as Galatians 5:1 claims. They loved the Lord, and they knew him as their Savior. And I think as I was going over this, Myrna says, you can look at the Washington Monument, says something towards God. Lincoln's Memorial. All of these places in Washington, D.C., the Rotunda, everything says something about God. And yet today, we have many who are trying to wipe this out. Our forefathers knew that Christ had made them free. A British governor, and I don't know who, like I'd read this, wrote to the Americans during the Revolutionary War, if you ask an American who is his master, he'll tell you he has none. And he has no governor but Jesus Christ. The motto of the American Revolution was, no king but King Jesus. How our country has changed. Our nation was built on equality and godly principles. Carl Sandburg wrote this, when a society or civilization perishes, one condition may always be